Today is Thursday, July 27th. It is 5:03, and I'm calling to order the Ethics Commission meeting today. And as we often do, we're going to start with the pledge. And so if everybody will stand and join me, the flag is behind me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So we'll go ahead. Oh, that's beautiful. We'll go ahead and introduce everybody so that we can know who's in the room and then confirm that we have quorum. And I am going first, Ellen Schmidt, Ethics Commission Chair.
Linda McCallum, Commission Member.
William All, Commission Member.
Kirby Oberdorfer, Ethics Director.
Paige Johnston, Ethics Office.
Cherry Pollack, Office of General Counsel.
Sandy Homework House, Ethics Office.
Scott Simpson, Member.
Darcy Gowner, Member.
J.J. Dixon, Member.
Excellent. So we have quorum. We are missing Darcy. We're not Darcy. We're missing LaTanya. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Darcy, so I'm here. Her name. she is here twice. LaTanya has an excused absence and isn't here. And it's possible that Dr. Freiberger will be joining us, but he's not in seat, so we'll see what happens there. May I ask the lovely Kirby to share an ethics thought with us today?
Yes, thank you so much. I have an ethics thought that comes from Rohini Nailakani, and I apologize if I've mispronounced her name. It says, "We cannot be mere consumers of good governance. We must be participants. We must be co-creators."
I like that one.
Thank you.
Good forethought. Did I tell you all at a previous meeting that I heard Kirby do some education to the newly appointed city council members, and you talked about Ben Franklin and the emoluments. How do you say that word?
The emolument clause.
Emolument. I can't say the word. I've never been able to say the word. But you talked about Ben Franklin and the 13 virtues, and I have been using that in the partial hospitalization group that we run once a week ever since. It was brilliant. So I appreciate your ethics thought, and sometimes I take them with me into the future. You don't know. So we're going to start, the next item anyway, is minutes approval. So the first thing we need to look at is the Ethics Commission meeting from January 11th, those minutes. Might someone want to make a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve the January minutes.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Did everybody have a chance to read them? Any feedback? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as they were submitted, say aye.
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 Aye. Anybody opposed? Okay, excellent. That motion carries. Next up is our packet that has the Ethics Commission special meeting minutes from June 13th, 2023. I'll happily entertain a motion regarding those as well.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Do you all have a chance to read them? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Excellent. We will move on to reports, and the first report is from our colleagues in the Ethics Office.
Thank you so much. So the Ethics Office has been incredibly busy. It's probably the busiest we've ever been that I can think of in the 8 years that I've been in the office. We have been doing a lot of training for, we actually train the mayor and her staff tomorrow. We have trained her transition committees. We have trained the new council members and the returning council members and elected officials from the beaches. We've trained new employees. We've done boards and commissions members. We've done some specialty boards, but we've been doing a significant amount of training. We also have been doing a lot of conflict checks and a lot of ethics advice on people that are transitioning in and out of government. So when you have a transition with a new administration that comes in, people tend to come in new and maybe not have experience before sometimes, and then people tend to self-select and transition out and go into different places, and that might implicate all kinds of different ethics laws. So we've we've been doing a lot of that. Trying to think. Those have been really the major categories of what we've done. We submitted the annual report on your behalf to the City Council on June 30th, and we'll see that. We're also in budget season, so we've been busy with budget, and I'm going to review the budget with you just for your well, I'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. So that's what we've been doing. So
thank you. Anything else? And like I said, I attended the part of the training. I couldn't stay for the whole training with the new and reappointed and the beaches people, and it was very good. I was like super engaging, super fun, used some technology, told good stories. It was good.
Thank you.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, I agree. I came in and observed the back end of that same training, and it was really good. Really impressed with Kirby and her entire staff. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Very good. Cherry. Do you have a report for us from OGC? We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, just real brief. We do have a new interim acting general counsel, Mr. Bob Rhodes, and he's been serving probably, I believe, July 1. He's been on board, and so he's going to be on board until the qualifications committee, the General Counsel Qualification Committee, they're going to meet and interview candidates who apply. The chair of that committee is our former General Counsel, Jason Gabriel. So at some point, we'll have a new General Counsel. I believe it will be by October 1. I'm not really sure, but so that's what's going on in our office. We're staying busy as always, though. So.
Excellent. Would it be appropriate to invite the new general counsel to come and meet us at some future meeting after he or she is appointed?
Absolutely. That would be great.
You could bring them along.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions? I should have asked you if you had any questions for Kirby or any questions for Terry about their reports. Next up, we have Legislative Committee and their report.
We met on Tuesday, had a very productive meeting, I think. Those are recommendations from that committee will be discussed later in the meeting.
Thank you. And JJ, do you have something for us from complaints?
Complaints has been very busy. We've met quite a bit here lately, and kudos and thanks to the complaints committee for getting through all of that stuff that we had. But we unfortunately do have 4 cases still pending, and we will be scheduling a meeting for those coming up soon.
Thank you. That's the end of the report, so we can move on to new business. We got a chunk of stuff to cover in new business. And the first one is to consider the approval of proposed revision to Ethics Commission Complaints Procedures Rule 1A. And I think that comes back to our legislative colleagues. Is that what you were referencing, or am I mistaken? Yours next. Who's going to do that one?
I'm happy to do it. This was not a legislative recommendation.
Oh, my mistake.
No, that's okay. This arose from a discussion that occurred in your May 15th special committee that you had in regards to the re-referral from the SIC committee, and then also in your June meeting that you had in response to the OGC final report to the SIC committee and their recommendations. There was discussion there about potential legislative changes as a result of the process that you all went through and reviewing the referral from the SIC committee. And one of those had to do with the utilization of the duties under 602-921C. And during the June meeting, there was a language drafted to amend your complaint procedures in Rule 1 to clarify the types of complaints that you as a commission will consider. And so you'll see the new language is on the front of your page. Here it says proposed changes to Ethics Commission complaint procedures and Jacksonville Ordinance Code. This is under number 1, the proposed change to complaint procedure rule 1A. We've included for you the existing rule of 1A, and then underlined and in bold is the new language that you all drafted at your last meeting. And it says the commission will only initiate an investigation against individuals pursuant to section 602-921A of the code.
And your complaint procedures say that if you're going to amend it, you have to do it with 10 days notice. So at the last meeting, you drafted the language, and it was to be brought before you at this meeting for a vote.
Thank you. And is this a good time to pause for a motion? And it doesn't come from a committee with a motion already. So is there a motion to adopt the language as Kirby reviewed it that we had previously discussed?
Yes, motion.
Thank you. Is there a second? Second. Any further discussion?
Second.
Judge McCallum did.
Thank you.
So I did want to raise one thought with you all. As I was drafting this language and putting it into your complaint procedures with Paige, she and I were working on it, it occurred to me it's fine how it is, and I think it would be effective the way that it is. It just didn't seem to have the bolstering language of what is tying this into. So in other words, you all have interpreted your own duties as you're authorized under 921, that's with your duties, says you have the power to interpret your own duties. So you've done that. So I was thinking if you wanted to bolster this, it would require you to postpone it and do it at another meeting, but you could say something about pursuant to the power to interpret the duties of the commission and section 608.921, the commission will only initiate an investigation against individuals pursuant to this section to ensure due process and the confidentiality ensured under Florida law. So you could make it just a little bit tighter, but you don't necessarily have to. It was just language that came to me after your last meeting when I was putting this together.
Okay. Does anybody have an initial reaction to that they want to say something about?
Yeah, so I think I definitely agree that in light of the last few months that it is not a bad thing to have the language crystal clear so that there's no misunderstanding and no confusion. It's absolutely worth considering whether or not we want to do that and unfortunately postpone it one more meeting. But it's also, I would say, the why may not be present in the sentence, but the sentence does state very clearly that this is how we will do it.
Yeah, I have a question. I kind of agree that it's pretty straightforward. It's black and white. We're not going to do it unless it's under this provision. How would that additional language help in any way? How would that make it better or tighter, as you say?
In my opinion, it helps to clarify the reason for it and also the authority for it.
Do we want to have to give reasons? I mean, I think my recollection was John Phillips said we're better off sometimes not given a reason. So do we really need to say a reason?
No, you don't need to. And that's why I gave it to you today. You're going to have to come back and amend your complaint procedures for a different rule if you adopt the recommendation from the legislative committee. So because you had an opportunity to amend your complaint procedures under a different rule at your next meeting, I just wanted to give you the benefit to consider that language, but no, it's not necessary.
Okay.
But you have a letter still out there from your former general counsel that says otherwise. So
I was just thinking that when Carla was during some of that, when Carla was testifying about the history of all of this, and even when Councilman Carlucci came in and talked about the history of it, that had to happen because there wasn't anything in black and white, and some people still felt that that was just their opinion. And I think it might not hurt us just to have a little extra something in there that, you know, 10 years, 15 years down the line, someone could look at it and not have to rely on somebody from today to explain why that had to happen.
And just to add to what JJ said, maybe I'm not even adding to what you said, that's what I was thinking as well. Was there merit in considering adding the language because of what we just experienced around having to dive back in and tell the history and background of how certain things came to be? But Judge McCallum made an interesting point too, and I'm trying to weigh both of them because I think your point had merit, Judge McCallum, and then adding it also has merit to me. They both, I see it both ways. I'm not sure which way is the best path forward. I can't decide.
I honestly don't feel strongly about it one way or the other, but if I recall, and this is completely from memory, it wasn't only for due process. It was to cover the other issues with the elections, and there were other reasons why we wanted to eliminate any other avenue, and we discussed those in the legislative committee meeting. So I don't feel strongly one way or the other. If the staff thinks that that's going to help and anyone here thinks that that's going to make intentions clear, I have no problem with putting that language in there, but I don't recall that due process was the only reason that we wanted to go only through A.
Well, and I'm no attorney, and so I agree with Justice McCallum that I don't feel passionately about whether it's in or out. But I also have learned in my short time on the commission that if a future administration chooses to go down a different path and try to influence change, that they can do that through the normal process and make a change regardless of what language you put in this. And so they'll have that opportunity. A future commission has that opportunity if they choose to do so. So regardless of what we end up leaving it with. But no, I'm good either way. It's fine. I think it's crystal clear what the procedure is as written, but...
Yeah, I just feel like sometimes less is more.
It is. I would
agree. The more you say, then the more it can be picked apart. But I'm not doing this every day like you are, so right. I really would defer to the advice of staff and Sherry.
Well, this is my first time, you know, reviewing this, but I would agree. I would be supportive of it because it is in the complaint procedures, given more... just giving more detail on what can be brought to the commission and the changes that you guys made in the legislative committee, you know, what's in the code itself. So this is, you're adding this now to the complaint procedures to make it a little bit more clear. So I'm comfortable with that.
A thought popped into my head, so I'm just going to say it, which is that I spend a lot of time reading Florida Statute 765, my favorite statute. And a lot of times in that, it has references at the bottom. Little teeny tiny type with references. Is this something that could be that, where we could reference the
it does.
The rule that you're talking about without actually overtly stating it in the... in this section. Am I making sense? So we would reference the part that gave us the authority? Or is that basically defeating the purpose of less is more? I don't know.
Well, normally you would reference the authority for promulgation of the rule. So it's usually works in the reverse. So that is the normal process to reference the authority, and that's what Kirby
that's
and
here,
Paige.
602.
Yeah, that's what they're doing in Rule 1 of the complaint procedures, because the complaint procedures are provided by authority of the code itself. So they are making that reference.
So this 602.921A, I should probably open my notebook.
Yes.
Is where this exact language is.
Well, not this exact sentence, but they're referencing 602.921A to say, hey, you know, this is what we're only going to do. We're only going to investigate.
Thank you.
Yes, pursuant to
so we've kind of made our reference already.
All right, so I'm looking at complaint. I want to see it in its entirety.
Yeah, A is right. It's next to it. It's attached. So.
Right, the complaint procedures. So here we go, Rule 5. That's the new patient.
Rule 1A. It's the underlying language.
I'm looking at the wrong new one.
Here we go.
Well, I'm just kind of curious why we would have to refer to our authority when we have all the definitions. I mean, this is Rule 1, scope, jurisdiction, definitions. That's it, right?
Yes. Yeah, so my thought was, given the letter that was issued by the former general counsel to which the commission did not issue an official response, there is an opinion and interpretation out there that says your interpretation is different. So it was just a belts and suspenders kind of approach to adopting that rule, but it is not required.
That's why we put this language, saying we're only going to do it. Mm-hmm. Can you say the language that you want to add to it again, please?
Yes, so I was saying something, and it's not that I wanted to add, it was just something that came to me as I was putting this in here, was like, oh, would it be beneficial to potentially add a little more language to clarify the change? And it would say something like, pursuant to the Ethics Commission's authority under Section 602.921 to interpret Chapter 602, which is what it actually says in 921, the commission will only initiate an investigation against individuals pursuant to Section 921A of the Code to ensure the due process and confidentiality required under Florida statutes. Period. But it's not required. It's just a thought that I had.
Well, if we adopt the recommendation from the legislative committee, C is going to go away, right? Mm-hmm. Completely.
Not yet.
Not yet.
The recommendation from the legislative committee is to replace C, but there was a discussion about not filing that request for legislation.
Gotcha.
Right away.
Gotcha. So it could be there for a little while.
Correct.
So we're going to change our procedures, but of course we have to ask for legislation. So. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm just.
Well, I think it's clear. Our procedures say we're only considering under A. So C is there, but we're clear. We're only going to consider under A.
You are. I agree. You're clear.
I think it's fine. But I am also indifferent. I mean,
yeah, I'm indifferent, too.
Well.
Well, I was just curious with adding Kirby, and again, I'm just looking at it for the first time, the language when you're adding to ensure the due process and confidentiality required under Florida statute, and I thought that there was some different language under the Florida statute, or maybe I didn't hear that correctly, but I think there was some different language under the Florida statute. So
that's a different provision. That's not this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to specify the Florida, the statute that, you know, the specific Florida statute? Because remember, there was different discussions, so.
There was, and that's a different issue about timing of complaints and when they're filed and whether you can announce an intention.
Okay.
But, yeah, we could. We could say 2A, which is the provision in Florida statutes that allows the commission and requires the commission to keep your complaints confidential until one of three steps are made. You do not have that authority other than what comes from Florida statutes 324, Section 2A. So it was just for clarity purposes.
Okay.
It came to me, and just a little bit point of more clarification, but it came to me when I was drafting literally the language of this. I was like, the commission can only? Well, somebody else says no. Mm-hmm. May only? Will only? Like, Paige and I struggled with that word, and I was like, oh, if I'm struggling with this word, then there may not be enough in this rule to kind of flesh that out a little bit, so here's an opportunity potentially to do so. But I agree with you, it's clear, and I agree it can stand on its own. But that's why I even brought that to your attention. That's the context in which it arose.
You'll forgive me for being a little bit blunt on this. I like the idea, if we feel that the language is adequate, of slamming the door shut on this sooner rather than later. So that there's no risk of one of these coming through this way again.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
And which language would slam it completely shut?
what we have, I believe, is what he's saying. Yeah.
Okay.
What you have in front of you.
All right.
And I enjoyed that discussion, and we can continue to have it if there's more. But I've unfortunately lost track of if we had a motion and a second. I think we had a motion and a second, we've had robust discussion. Does anyone want to add anything more, ask any clarifying questions?
Well, the motion was just on what's before you.
Right.
So not the additional, okay.
Right. So that is, I agree with you, Cherry. I think that the motion before us is to amend the language of Rule 1, scope, jurisdiction, definitions, and applicability under A to include the bold language here before us. The commission will only initiate an investigation against individuals pursuant to Section 602.921A of the code. That's what we have just indicated that we're likely to agree to.
Right.
So, all those in favor? No, not all. What?
Sorry, it's okay. Not on the sheet, but public comment. Remember, it's typical. I know no one's here.
Oh,
but can we
just
ask for
that's
public
fair.
Comment so it's on the record that we've asked for it?
Thank you. I enjoy robust public comment, but I was skipping it because there is no one here. But I think your point is well taken. The record doesn't reflect that no one was here until this moment. So normally we would ask for public comment, but we have no public.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the help. I'll take all the help. I read the motion. We were poised to vote. We have no public. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No. Okay. So, Kirby, will you take us through the next recommended change?
Yes. This goes to, on your agenda, new business item, recommendations from a legislative committee. So it's the second new business item. And so the legislative committee met on Tuesday to consider two potential changes that also were discussed in your May meeting. And it was a motion that I believe Judge McCallum may have made at the time to refer these matters to the legislative committee. But the first was whether you wanted to propose any changes to your existing complaint procedure rule 5F that prohibits the filing of a complaint within 30 days of an election. So following the discussion at the meeting and after the committee looked at state law and also had information that ballots are mailed out about 45 days before an election by the Supervisor of Elections Office, the legislative committee determined that 60 days was in a more appropriate time frame for this prohibition, and they also wanted to incorporate the language from the state statute 112324 subparagraph 2F about not announcing the intention to file a complaint, which was not in our rule. So based on those two changes that they wanted, your 5F complaint procedure rule would be modified as shown here on page one of the document. The new language is in bold and underlined, and the language that's going to be removed is stricken through. So if you were to adopt the recommended changes, it would read, any complaint against a candidate in a general, special, or primary election that is received within 60 days immediately preceding the date of that election may not be filed with the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight, nor may any intention of filing such a complaint or a referral be disclosed on the day of any such election or within the 60 days immediately preceding the date of the election. Any complaint filed within 60 days immediately preceding the date of an election will be returned by the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight to the person filing the complaint with an explanation of why the complaint is being returned without any action being taken by the commission. A complaint returned pursuant to this provision and subsequently refiled after the election shall be deemed to have been filed on the date the complaint was first submitted to the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight.
I just have one comment. I think this is not what we ultimately, the language we ultimately agreed, based on comments made by Mr. Mall and Darby, we were going to just change that 30 to 60, leave the rest like it was, and then add at the very end the language that's in the state about intention to, that other language, because you all want it. The concern was if we say may not be filed, then it's forcing people to, if I recall the comments that y'all made, was they don't know what to do. So my recollection was that we talked about just changing from 30 to 60 and then adding the language at the end of F about that they may not indicate their intention to the language that you have here.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, because if someone reads the may not be filed, then they will hold and not file a claim following this rule.
Right, and you all were concerned about that, that
right.
they should file it and that you would return it
so that they can have the benefit of the
statute of limitations.
The statute of limitations language that's there.
Yeah, because it's right now a little bit inconsistent. It says may not be filed, and then it says if you file it, then we're going to...
It'll be returned, and you'll get right. the benefit of having filed it against this rule that says you may not file it. Yeah, you're right.
So my understanding of what we were going to do was keep F as it is intact, except just change 30 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of that, where it says compliance and oversight period, then we would add the language
from F
that correct that they cannot file any may not have any intention of filing such a complaint or blah blah.
It was from F from the state law.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And we were just going to scratch out the last line
correct.
Of that. F.
Correct. That's what I have here from.
So,
which you could do, or you could change the language. For may not be filed as may not be accepted by the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight. But that's up to you. You can put it in two separate paragraphs. I don't know that it necessarily matters. And my apologies for not getting it correct.
I think the way we decided to do it was pretty clear. They made a really good point that it's inconsistent. You can't be filed, and then but yet if you file it, you'll get it returned, and then you'll get the benefit of it. So I changed my motion based on their comments to just change
right.
it to 60 days and then add that language at the end.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is kind of what we wanted to do.
Okay.
So what do we do?
Yeah, how does
so
that
So you change it.
So you could just strike all of the underline language?
And strike all the underline. We
yeah.
just leave the 60.
Yes.
Strike 30 and put 60 wherever it says 30.
Correct.
And then we add that, and
F.
I don't have it in front of me.
I have it here, the F.
The F provision.
Add this.
So that's already in what's in front of you. Where it starts with, nor may any intention of filing such a complaint or referral be disclosed on the date of such an election or within 60 days immediately preceding. That's directly out of F.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, that's it. Well, yep.
Perfect. Yeah.
Throw it at the end there.
Okay. So you just want to move it.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. I think that...
Okay. So I apologize. I interrupted you.
Okay.
So make sure I understand, what we have in front of us, starting with F, complaints within 60 days of election returned. We're going to keep the language that's not in bold, but when we get up to the received within 60 days immediately preceding the date of that election, I need to forget everything that's there underlined in bold and just go straight down to will be returned by the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight.
That's right.
And then we're going to keep going with the language that's there. A complaint return pursuant to this immediately preceding the date of election will be returned. A complaint return pursuant to this provision and subsequently refiled after. Okay, that I got. And then the next, there'll be a next paragraph also under F that will start with what word?
A complaint or referral.
A complaint or referral.
Under this part.
A complaint or referral. Oh, you have it written there? Where did that come from?
I have the F from...
You're quoting the state law.
That's what we
because
wanted
that,
to
that's
add.
What,
the referral.
That's what they had
that's
voted
not,
on.
But that's not the correct language of what we do, is what I'm saying.
That is the language that we wanted
I
to
understand. No, I understand, but we don't have... that same language. She's starting at the beginning. We only want the middle language is what I was trying to indicate.
I thought it was because I only struck the last two sentences from our meeting. I thought it was all of F except for the last sentence.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, we didn't want just the middle. We wanted all of it except for the last sentence.
Okay. Do we have referrals?
No, we don't have referrals.
Here? Okay. So it could be a complaint under this part. I thought it was this language.
I don't know that you can take all the language as it is in F because it would be redundant.
and we'll get into the same issue you just talked about. It says a complaint or referral under this part against a candidate in any election may not be filed, nor may any intention of filing such a complaint be disclosed. So you're getting back into the language you didn't like about may not be filed.
Right. No, so you're right. So it would have to say a complaint under this provision. No intention of filing
right.
a complaint under this provision may be announced
right.
60 days prior.
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of
yeah.
what we wanted.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Thanks.
And you say we don't have referrals.
No, right. we don't.
Because I'm looking at the language here, has referral mentioned in it, so...
It did. We took it straight from the state statute, but you don't have a referral.
So we need
so
to clarify anyway,
that.
So that's
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So you guys are workshopping it, and we're just holding fast. Thank you.
I don't think there is a motion on the floor.
No,
isn't.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So we're
yeah,
good.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
I'm very content over here.
Yeah.
So maybe once we've wordsmithed it, someone can just... read
mm-hmm.
it all out.
Yeah, Kirby, if you can
that.
Read it.
I think she's just double checking
okay.
with the
yeah,
language
I don't,
to figure out what it means.
I don't think I have it anymore.
No.
I don't have it anymore.
So bright.
Okay, so this is how to read, and if you want to follow along, you can flip to your complaint procedures on page 11 in your notebook. It's under your tab marked complaint procedures.
Can you just read it from the handout that you have? Here,
I'm going to get everybody on the page of where they can follow along, and then I'm going to read it.
We did it.
Yeah. All right, what page?
Complaint procedures, page 11. Rule 5F is on there. It's at the top. It says F, complaints within 30 days of an election return. It's just easier for you to see the language as it is
okay.
without something else in there. And it's going to closely mirror what's on the handout, Cherry. It's just the stuff in the bold's going to be moved.
Okay, because I only brought the handout. I didn't even bring my procedures because I thought we were just going to be...
You've got them in your... Hold on, Paige has got them in her notebook, so...
Okay, thanks.
That way everybody can see the rule for themselves.
Page 11.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. Tab 11? Oh, here it is.
No, not procedures.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was just going to be on the handout. That's why I didn't even bring my procedure. So sorry about that.
You got All right. Everybody with me?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So it's going to say Rule 5F, complaints within 60. The 30 is going to be stricken, and it's going to say 60 days of an election return. Any complaint against a candidate in a general, special, or primary election that is received within the 30 stricken to say 60 days immediately preceding the date of that election, comma, will be returned by the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight to the person filing the complaint with an explanation of why the complaint is being returned and without any action being taken by the commission. A complaint returned pursuant to this provision and subsequently refiled after the election shall be deemed to have been filed on the date of the complaint was first submitted to the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight. And then there will be a new paragraph that says, nor may any intention of filing such a complaint under this part be disclosed on the day of any such election or within 60 days immediately preceding the date of the election.
That's what we want to add, but I think we should start with maybe further. No intention.
In addition,
instead
yeah.
of
nor is hitting me wrong.
Yeah,
I had additionally, comma, nor, but whatever you want to say.
Oh, I didn't
okay,
hear the
additionally. Perfect.
That makes it better.
I added it. I started with nor, and then I was like, that doesn't make any sense, so I added additionally.
Yep.
And I think okay. I heard the additionally as just you speaking and not as you telling us.
So the second paragraph would start with additionally,
yes.
comma, nor, little n, may any intention of filing such a complaint.
It does
say
referral. Such a complaint.
Yeah, such a complaint. Be disclosed on such election.
On the day of
any such. On the day of such election or within 60 days immediately preceding the date of the election. one of the reasons I left referral in there is you don't have referrals. You don't have an authority to receive them, but you received one. So I wasn't really sure. You got one from sick. So I was like, do I take it out? Do I leave it in? And so I left it in because you were given one, even though there's no authority under A to take one. But anyway, that's...
No, you don't. So that is the language we did want. That's exactly what we wanted.
Okay.
I don't know if we say referral, then aren't we suggesting maybe they can?
No, I would take it out.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to have.
Being taken, I would take it out.
Okay, referral out.
Okay. So that was helpful, and I feel good about what you just read as far as my understanding of what we're doing and what the Legislative Committee has recommended. Does anybody want it reread in order to make a motion, or does it did it work for everybody else too?
No, it works, I think, for me, but I do have a question.
Bring it.
Do we have the authority to make such a statement that no one can disclose their intent to file a complaint in the 6 days? Someone can make that disclosure whether we like it or not.
The state's ethics office does. They have it in their procedures. And why we wanted to add it to our code was so that there could be repercussions if
right.
someone violated it with that.
I do agree with it. I wanted to make sure that we have the authority to do that.
I had a similar, but tangentially similar question, which is, who is bound by the code? Like, if private citizen John Smith says, I'm filing a complaint within 30 days of an election against a candidate, we don't have the authority over that person, but we would have the authority over, people who work, the government officials and such, who would be governed by this. Is that right? I understand it correctly. So a private citizen wouldn't necessarily receive a consequence from that action by this group, but it would constrain government officials and city employees from doing it. Is that right?
So
tangentially
that's partially right.
Okay.
I'm
happy to be corrected. It's
no,
okay.
That's okay. This is an amendment to your complaint procedures, not to the code.
Gotcha.
And so it will be guidance. So you're right that the code, if the ethics code and the ordinance code was to be amended to include this provision, it would apply only to those that the ethics code covers, which is city officials and employees. By adopting this, and this is part of the discussion at the Legislative Committee as well, by adopting this language, and that's a great question, Mr. Simpson, into your complaint procedures, there's no corresponding violation that goes along with it. There's no enforcement mechanism to it. It's just a statement that you all are making that people shouldn't be announcing their intention. But if a person governed by the code, a city employee or official were to file a complaint or to announce go on the courthouse steps, the city hall steps, and do a press conference about filing a complaint against a candidate within 60 days of an election after you pass that, there's no corresponding mechanism to find them in violation of the code. Because there is no code restriction on that. This is just kind of, you would have to further amend the code through the legislative process.
Which we are doing. We're preparing that language
to
be in the code, but of course that has to go to city council.
Sure.
And
Thank you. So that makes sense to me. I understand it.
Okay.
I guess my takeaway is we have to start somewhere and letting the world know that is not appropriate is a good first step, and then thank you for filling me in on the Legislative Committee's plans to kind of tackle that on an ongoing future basis.
Right.
Your question got answered?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
At a minimum, it is discouraging that activity.
Yeah, because we don't have anything over the code at this moment, but we have a right over our complaint procedures and what complaints we take and when we take them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're saying, you can file it, but we're not taking
we're
it
not
if
taking
it's within
it.
60 days. So it really doesn't do you any good unless your only goal is to get it out in the public.
Right.
But at least it saves us from having to accept that complaint and deal with that complaint because we're going to summarily, if it's within 60 days, you're going to open it up and send it right back to them.
Right. Precisely. Yeah. Gotcha.
So that's good.
Yep.
So thank you for all of that. That was a good question.
Are we ready to have a motion to adopt the language that we just reviewed and agreed upon? I'm ready, if someone's ready to make the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion or questions? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the language that we reviewed and agreed to, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, excellent. There's more, correct?
Yes. There is one more revision that was recommended by the legislative committee, and that is a proposed change to Ordinance Code Section 602.921C. This is a provision that you all may be familiar with, that you received the referral from the request to investigate from the SIC committee under. The current language of it is on the bottom of page 2 of your handout, and it has the strike through it. But it basically says currently that you can, upon your own initiative or an employee or citizen complaint, seek information and gather facts for the purpose of reviewing any circumstance or situation that might violate a potential acceptable code of ethics conduct as delineated, and it refers back to the charter. So the recommendation from the legislative committee is to remove that language because it could be interpreted to be potentially giving you authority, or some there was an argument made that that gave you authority to do an investigation against an individual, and instead replacing that with the language directly from the charter about legislative changes, which is to recommend changes in legislation to city council in the areas of ethics, laws, administration, etc., that comes right out of the charter and is at the bottom of your handout. Thank you. I'm just deciding if we want to properly move and second and then discuss, or if anybody has any questions before we do that.
Well, I can make the motion that we adopt the recommendation of the legislative committee to strike C and as it is and add C as stated on this page.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Additional discussion? I was going to say, go ahead.
No,
you please.
The one thing of the upon its own initiative piece, we still have that initiative in subsection A, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. For, yeah, complaints, for violations.
Six members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's specifically for alleged violations of Chapter 602. So it's a little more limited than what is in C. But yes, you still have that.
And that's a good point. We actually discussed that to ensure that we did have the ability to self-initiate.
Any other questions? Okay, so we have a motion and a second to accept the language as recommended by the legislative committee, which we've just reviewed. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, excellent. Thank you. Wow, we did good work today. And there's still more. Next is 2023 committee reassign. I'm sorry if I did that. Committee reassignments. There's a copy down here. There's tremendous joy in being the chair of the Ethics Commission. I highly recommend you do it if you get the chance. This is not one of those things that I find great joy in. I always want everyone to have their number one choice, and sometimes it's not possible, and sometimes we have changes in members, and we have to shuffle things around. But I think that these recommendations for the committee will, for the different committee assignments, are great ones. You all have been doing fantastic work, and I hope this works for all of you. Do you have any questions about it? Any pain points? Everything okay?
No, looks good.
Excellent.
Works for me.
Excellent. Thank you. You'll notice at the bottom of the sheet that talks about the committee assignments, we have the nominating committee, which is ad hoc. And you'll also notice that the next item on our agenda is the appointment of a nominating committee and process for upcoming Ethics Commission vacancy. Vacancy, you might ask. Alas, it is me. Because I will term out in December, and we'll have to leave this role that I've enjoyed and loved. I have enjoyed and loved it, and I've loved working with all of you. And but alas, my time will come to an end, and so you must find because my position came from the commission. I was selected by the commission to serve. So you, as the commission, need to find a new Ellen. And so we want to bring together a nominating committee to do that. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that might look like, the process? What do you think is, we'll name a committee. I'm hoping that we get volunteers, but I'm up for voluntolding if possible, if I have to. But if you want to volunteer, it's a good committee. You get to interview people. You were most recently on it when
we brought Mr. Mullen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking around the room, and I think almost everybody here is very familiar with the nominating committee process because we just went through that last year, and it led to Mr. Mull and Mr. Simpson joining us, and Judge McCallum chaired that great committee, and you served on it, and Darcy also served on it. So, JJ, I'm talking to you. No, I'm just kidding. And JJ may have done this before, too, but essentially when there's a seat on the commission that's coming up, and the person either is ineligible to serve. Ellen has served 2+ terms. She filled a partial term, mm-hmm. so she's done more than her 6 years. When that incident arises, then there is a general call for applications where we post in a range of community organizations. We give them information about the application and the applicant period and all those kind of things, and it's a lengthier time frame because you want to give people the opportunity to research the commission and decide whether it's a good thing opportunity for them. And so usually the application period's about 3 to 4 weeks, and then after that you'll see how many people come in, and you'll have a nominating meeting, and you'll schedule interviews with each of the applicants, and that could be the same day or it could be multiple days, however you all decide. But it does take, and then that nominating committee will ultimately call through it and make a recommendation. And some years they have done it all in one day and they've picked their top person then. And some years they haven't been able to agree on a top person, and so they had top 2 or 3 that they would recommend to the full commission, and they came to the full commission. So there's been different ways to do it, but it is a little bit of a lengthier process, and Ellen's term ends in December, which is why we're bringing it up now. But ultimately, there will be some type of recommendation from the nominating committee brought forth to the commission for you all to vet the potential nominee or nominees, and then vote them in, and then they have to go through the council confirmation process, which is 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any questions about the process? Does anybody want to do it? Who wants to be?
I think Mr. Mall and Mr. Simpson should do it.
How soon are we talking about
the newest members pick the newest member?
That's a great question. So JJ asked, how soon are you talking about starting this process? I would say you should start it really probably sometime in August or no later than early September, because once you get into November, you run into the holidays and you run into scheduling difficulties and a lot of other potential delays. So if you want somebody in the seat before January, or by January 1st, I should say, then I would recommend starting it sometime in August or September. And the first part of it is just deciding where you're going to advertise the application information to, making sure the application is sufficient and complete, and getting it out there and setting the time period, setting the timeline for all your activities.
I want your opinion about something, which is, I've enjoyed being on the nominating committee many times and would happily serve on it again. So I am absolutely willing to do it. Is that in the best interest of the commission? On the one hand, I have many years of experience. I know what the role is like. I can speak to that if somebody asks questions about it. But I'm leaving. And so how much do you care about who I like and what I pick? Like, so I'm willing to do it. I'm happy to do it. If you'd rather have me not do it, I'm also happy not to, but I enjoyed it and would be glad to do it. If you don't...
We know you have the best interest of the commission
and
your mind and heart, so I would have no problem with you being involved.
Thank you.
I agree.
I don't think you leaving has really any effect on that.
Thank you.
Did you say how many people are required to be on the nominating committee? I don't think I got that.
We've had three before. We could probably do up to four if people are interested. I think mostly it's been three. Is that right? Three or four?
Yes, exactly. It's been three to four.
Yeah. I'll sit on the nominating committee, but I'm most interested in sitting on the interview part and asking the questions and deliberating the best candidate. A little less interested in the whole advertising it and setting out the timeline. I will defer to the majority on that. But certainly...
Yeah, I'm also fine with it.
All right. So we have our committee of at least three, and if anybody else wants to join, we're welcome to. Maybe when, Sandy, if you would send out like an inquiry about available dates, and we'll get one on the calendar. Is it... Nope, that's good. I don't have a question. I take it back. Thank you. Good annual report?
Yeah, so the annual report has been filed, and there's a copy of it in your packet, and it was filed with City Council on June 30th, and it just lists out the members and a summary of your major activities for the year, and those kind of things. So it's just there for your reference. That's all.
Thank you. I was actually going to volunteer to sit on the nominating committee, only because I haven't done it before, and I kind of want to do the whole process and see how that works. But I'm not available until, I think it's like the last week of August. So for the next couple weeks, I'm not available. So I didn't want to overextend myself, and then you all want to start, and I'm not available to be there from the start.
That shouldn't be an impediment.
Yeah, we'd be happy to have you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely volunteer for that. I love that experience. I want to feel the joy that you feel.
I enjoyed it. I'm not sure I would say it properly.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
It
was certainly
a joy, yes, but it was nice. It was fun. What can you teach us about the budget?
I can teach you something in a very short period of time. I just wanted to put on the record that the security guards have asked us to end as close at 6 as possible. Because they go home after 6. And so...
Six now.
I know, it's 6 now, so...
I have a 7 o'clock meeting, so I favor this plan.
I will... That was the conversations they were having with me over there. So I will briefly just review the budget materials that you have in front of you, and I'm happy to talk to you about them offline if you have questions. So... you want to look on, there's a column that says Mayor's Recommended, and that's what we're talking about. That's what's before City Council. On August 11th is our budget hearing, and I have a meeting with the Chair of Finance, Councilmember Howland, on August 8th to review our budget request. You'll see on the first page is revenue. So we get $53,500 from the various independent authorities for their contributions to our budget. And this is going to be really a high-low level overview. But turning to the next page, the next two pages are expenses that are broken down into categories you'll see. The only thing is that our salaries are increasing per a collective bargaining agreement that the former mayor struck on city raises. So we're all having the benefit of that, which is the increase from our budget cost versus the recommended by the mayor. So that's a main one. And the only other main thing is on page 2 under expenses, under dues and subscriptions. You'll see that the original budget increases by $534, and that's to account for existing dues and memberships that Paige had in OGC that she's carried with her into the ethics office, and we didn't have the funding for, so they rolled that into our budget to give us $534. So that is it. And the last two pages are about personnel and the staff of the office, and you can see the salaries of me and Paige and Andrea. There are three full-time positions.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Okay. There's only a couple of other items on the agenda, and I think that none of them really
already are time-consuming. It is the responsibility of the chair of the Ethics Commission to evaluate the Ethics Director, and Kirby and I are working on that, and I was going to give you an update about that, which is what I just said. And she and I are going to meet next week to finalize it, sign it, and so the next time we meet, I'll be able to share it with you in more details. And then I have shuffled my papers, but I think the next couple of things are announcements, public comments. There's still no public.
Right.
And did we have one announcement? I vaguely remember we said something upstairs. And
yes. Yeah, so
what it is.
I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see in the news, but there was a story in Action News Jax about the commission's decision in the Jason Gabriel matter. That was before you imposed employment restrictions. And in there were some comments about how in the history of the commission, there's never been probable cause or a violation found, and what does that say about the commission? And so that news story will be sent to you.
And then I guess the thought process I have is digest it, and then the next time we meet, let's talk about it and see, is that something that we can or want to address in any way? What are our thoughts? Sandy or your office will send it out soonish?
Yes.
Thank you.
And a former member of the Ethics Commission commented on his view of the commission, so it'll be in the story.
And I offered some quotes, and they will not appear because they chose not to use them. So I was disappointed when I read it, to be completely honest. Any other announcements anybody wants to share? And again, there's no public, so no public comments. So I think we're good to adjourn.
Okay.
6:04.
Wonderful.
Not too bad.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all this hard work, everybody. This is some good stuff.
Thank you.
Did you
say?
No. It was several weeks ago.
I heard
not several, but a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. The story's with me. You look amazing. Your suit is beautiful.